Okay, welcome to another episode of Untold Mysteries Out of Quarantine on bbsradio.com. My name is John Kudus from the Netherlands, and you are listening live, and this is the real live version. Today it's 21 April 2007, and yesterday I had my birthday, so thank you to all who gave me the happy birthday greetings on the untoldmysteries.com webpage and forum section. And I've been becoming 41 years old. I feel older already. But I have a very highly controversial topic today. Today we're going to talk about something that most people try to ignore or try to avoid. As you know, I'm researching UFOs and researching alien contactees and abductees for a long time, for 17 years now. And part of that research is also that people mentioning people having sightings or seeing reptilians. Now, reptilians are not necessarily alien. They can be very well native to this planet. But another part of the reptilians could be not from this Earth. So there's a confusion there. The people think if something is reptilian-like and humanoid, they must be alien. Now, that's what people think. You know, you have seen the movie E.T., and you've seen the movie Close Encounters, so it must be alien. But what if there is if you look at how old the human race is and how old the reptilian race is, you could imagine that if there is something like an evolution going on, that the reptilian race have had their chances to evolve many, many times over in comparison how old we are in the scale of how old the Earth is. And in that, you know, taking that in consideration, maybe in times of Atlantis, in the time of Lemuria, before that, there were humanoid reptilians walking on the Earth, but actually evolved to having a high civilization with technology, with the ability to travel in space, and maybe they left Earth. That is possible. And what also is possible, everything what I say today is for consideration purpose only. So don't say that this is absolute. It's not. It's just after doing so much research in contactees, abductees, and also my own experiences, I have my own unique view on the reptilian agenda, because that's the topic of today, the reptilian agenda. If we have time over, in the second part of the show, I will talk about Tantra. And Tantra is maybe, strangely enough, connected to that story of who are we? Can we have contact who we are? And can we have access to our DNA, our archives, our three-dimensional, better than the movies? We can have access to it. And is that maybe what we're going to experience towards 2012, that we have access to our DNA? And that maybe, you know, let's say there would be an alien landing down with a UFO and steps out and will give you a book. And in that book, it says everything about Lemuria and about Atlantis, what they know, what happened in the past. Would you believe it? Even if you can prove that they are real aliens, would you still accept that as the only interpretation of what happened? Or is there something, another book that is maybe more interesting, far out more interesting, and far out more sophisticated? That would be you. Now, that's strange. How can I be a book? Yes, you are. Your own DNA is a kind of a storage capacity of, you know, about 70% is not being decoded, and 3% of the DNA is decoded as the physical looks, you know, how you look like. So when you look at the DNA, only 3% talks about the color of your hair and the color of your skin and the eyes and the hands and how you look like. But 97% of the DNA is not being decoded. According to Greg Braden, a part of it is already being decoded, but that's another story. So you have to search or Google Greg Braden. But to go back to my story, what can you choose? Something, an external authority that will tell you what happened on the Earth in the past, and that you get a different perspective of the reptilian agenda to understand the reptilian agenda? Let's say that you have to ask this simple question: who owns the planet? Have you ever asked that question? You know, who is the owner of the planet? Who started to create life forms on this planet? People would say that would be God. But if you consider that that it is possible to, in the future, near future, they're going to terraform Mars with some technologies, and they create life on Mars if they want to in the future. We could actually create terraform, or terraforming means that you want to have an Earth-like planet using high-tech abilities of your, you know, which you can do in the future. What if this planet, this Earth, is being terraformed, not necessarily by God, but by high-tech aliens? That aliens actually were the first who created this planet and having all these wonderful life forms. And then we would say that would be God. But what if it's not God? It's just an experiment, that we are living on a huge experiment. Maybe you can consider, you can compare it with a zoo. You know, are the animals in the zoo, are they allowed to leave? No, they're not allowed to leave. Is there a reason for that? Yes, there's a reason for that. Because if certain animals would escape the zoo, certain people have problems with that. Maybe it's the same with us. Some people claim that we are actually having a temporarily prison on this planet, that we cannot escape it, and we cannot go beyond it, and that's the reason we have troubles to go to other planets. That we have, you know, if you study what happened on Mars, and strange accidents happened to Mars, the Phobos 2 mission is a beautiful example, and other strange things that happened on the mission to Mars. So maybe there is a connection with that we are actually limited, not allowed to leave this planet. So almost like a prison planet. But it is not necessarily so. Now, why is it not a prison planet? Because I believe that on a soul level, or a spirit, is actually free. But we experience limitations, and so we claim it that it is a prison. But it is not. It is not. It's just a way of expression. Now, when you living, let's say, millions and millions of years ago as a soul, and you come to this earth, you have a different environment. Maybe the environment is more harsh and more difficult to be here. That would explain that your looks would be different. You know, if you have a reptilian species, that is a response to the environment that is happening at that particular time frame. Now, when you, for instance, I've mentioned it many times as a beautiful example, when you go to the Antarctic, they found a fish that could produce antifreeze that is 100 times stronger than what you use on your glasses, you know, on your car window screen. You know, you have this antifreeze. Now, how is it possible that this fish now knows how to survive in very cold environment? So there is a relationship between a certain intelligence inside your DNA that can adjust with the surroundings. Now, if this is true, that can explain forms, life forms. You know, if you do a little bit Google search exobiology, there was a wonderful documentary on Discovery. They say if you want to stretch the limit of your intelligent behavior or your DNA and know how to survive in harsh environments, if you stretch it to the limit, it would actually shapeshift. That is what exobiologists from the NASA say, that it may be in the future possible. If you look at the evolution of how fast we can adjust, and it's going faster and faster and faster. And why is that? Why is that our DNA, or DNA in general, can adjust faster and faster? Is there a reason for that? I think there is a reason for that. But think about it. If you condemn someone who's looking different than you, then you're not judging on the right way. You have to judge of the content of who the person really is on the soul level before you're going to judge someone. And maybe it's better not even to judge on the soul level, because you never know what really happened. So if we have this reptilian agenda, it could be very well that there was a time on this planet that reptilian creature, humanoids, looking like humanoids but reptilian, were actually the first ones on this planet. Now, if that is the case, you can imagine that they're very upset that certain alien beings who look different than them were actually genetic modifying workers, you know, that have to do the work. And they actually had maybe wars between the native reptilian creatures living on the Earth, and confronted with an alien race that created hybrids to work for them, to be kind of a slave. And if that is true, that can explain a lot. You know, when you read the story of Adam and Eve, and Michael Tesalion mentioned that Adam and Eve is actually a story of two races. You have the Adam race and you have the Eve race. The first race that was created were they used the genetics of a reptilian and mixed it with an alien race. And they want to have servants. They want to have workers. Now imagine that they first used the reptilian genes, mix it with them, you know, the alien race that intervened, and they created this hybrid race that was rebellious, you know, that was the Eve race, that say, no, we don't want to be slaves, we want to have our own free will, and we want to have our own ways of living, and we don't want to choose sides, we don't want to serve you anymore. And so they were too smart. So it's kind of interesting. Because they were too smart and having too much access to their own potential, they become rebellious. Now, rebellious genes, that was the key. So they dummied down for the second time. They created another worker race, and that was with the Neanderthal or the Cro-Magnon race that was also walking on the same area, same time period, and they said, let's use them. And they had more emotions, and they had more other energies, and they mixed the alien genes with them. And that is the Adam race. And there you have it. And there is a feeling of the, of the reptilian race, the hybrids, I have to say, half alien, half reptilian, that they say, you have the same fate as we have. We have been used. We have been used as slaves. We want to warn you not to do the same. But what happened is that the Adam race was actually too much dummy downed, you know, because they were afraid of that they're going to resist. Therefore, they were so afraid that they believe everything that is being told how to worship their gods, their god. Now, that's important. The whole concept of worship is based upon that they need workers or slaves or servants. If you think there's a huge, beautiful prime creator that created everything, that I don't think that wants to be worshipped. It is, I think, the lesser gods who still have a lot of power that wants to be worshipped, because worship is all about control and about the ability to do what they want to do on this planet. And maybe the most of those aliens were not able to live on the surface, and therefore they need in between ways. That's the reason they create hybrids. Now, if that is true, you can imagine that the original, and it's important that you realize this, the original owners of this planet, the original inhabitants of this planet, were not so happy about this. Actually, they were very angry. Now, what would you do if you have a beautiful planet and some alien species decided to come to visit you and master genetics, and they're going to mix their genes with part of your race, and they want to have servants? And how would you respond? Now, if this is true, what I'm saying, then it will explain this schizophrenic behavior, that part of our genes is loyal to the Earth, and a part of our genes is not loyal to the Earth, but actually come from someplace else. That explains our strange behavior, that we actually feel that we do not belong here. Now, why is that? That we have this strange dualistic thinking, and this rage as well is in us. So we have two different species that both have been manipulated with the same maybe alien races that are having one agenda, that is to have workers and slaves and to control them. And it has nothing to do with the real gods, you know, the true beautiful, loving, kind gods that people perceive them as beautiful, you know, supreme beings or whatever you want to call them, are actually the lesser gods. They are actually working amongst us, and maybe they cannot reveal themselves because we are in the majority and we could rebel. That's the last thing that I want you to do, that you rebel. So what is the best way to deceive the public is not to reveal their true identity. You know, if all those true puppet masters would reveal themselves, we could challenge them, and that's not what they want, because if we challenge them, we're going to have access to our true potential. It is easier to have this predictable life, and that you think that you are living in a free world. As long as you think like that, you won't rebel. You won't want to examine who you truly are. But if you confront it with a true agenda that is in the state, and it will be more obvious that we're being used and being like puppets, then maybe people are going to question authority much more often and have faster access of who you are and who you truly are. Now, talking back about the reptilian agenda, part of the reptilians, in my opinion, do not have to be so upset anymore. They don't have to be warlike anymore. Maybe they are just also fed up with this dualistic thinking. And it's the same with the other side. So we have certain agendas. One of the agenda is, of course, control, you know, over the whole planet. Now, let's say that there is an ancient race, a reptilian race, that is actually so angry that they want to have payback time. They want to have a revenge. And the only way that, because they are in the minority, they have to infiltrate, you know, to go to secret societies that do worship with ritual thinking and rituals. And the whole thing is that if you control the key people on this planet, like David Icke is talking about, that is a way to get even, to get back, because they have a way to say, you think that you own the planet? Okay, let's fight back. Maybe they lost the battle in the past. They lost the battle in Atlantis and in Lemuria, but they found a different approach to strike back. Now, I think that not all of them, all those so-called reptilians, have to have to be the so-called enemy. Now, why is this topic, why is the reason that I want to talk about this topic is because of the Morgellons disease. Morgellons, M-O-R, Gallons disease. Just look at Renzo.com. And they found out that this strange Morgellons disease is connected to the chemtrails. Now, if you want to see hard evidence, scientific evidence, that there is a connection between chemtrails and Morgellons disease, you have to ask yourself, why? Why should they do this weird nanotech, weird Morgellons disease putting on the people? Now comes the interesting part. This Morgellons disease will attack reptilians. Very harsh. Now, if that is true, then maybe there is a secret war going on against the reptilian hybrids that is walking amongst us. And again, I don't think all of them have to be bad or have to be, against humanity. But if this is happening, this secret war against the reptilian hybrids, and they would use the excuse of, there's a global warming and we need to, soon in the future, we have to accept there must be legislation, that's a difficult word for me, but there must be a law to allow to manipulate the weather, you know, to protect us for the UV light, sunlight, and protect us, and, you know, we have this ozone layer problem, and we have this global warming, so they have to do something with weather modification and weather manipulation. Let's say they do this, and they have to so-called test it right now, so they have an excuse to do so. So when people see chemtrails in the sky, I'm not talking about the contrails, I'm talking about chemtrails, the first that people comes up into the minds is maybe they do it because to protect our, like a shield, you know. That is what people think. But maybe the true reason what they do is literally to have a secret war against reptilians. Now, if that is the case, would you say, that's a good thing to, let's say, wipe out the total hybrid race that is walking amongst us? Is that, you know, if they would admit that, let's say in 2011, they would say, yes, we did some chemtrails, yes. But it's for your own good. We did this to protect you because we know that there are a lot of reptilian people walking amongst us, and they have a bad influence, and they are the bad creatures. You know, let's say that they're completely demonized, and they use that as an argument to wipe out an entire race of hybrids, of reptilian hybrids. Would you say that it's a good thing? I don't think so. It has nothing to do with spirituality. It has nothing to do with allowing that everything has its own unique reason to be. And again, why should you judge someone because he looks different than you? And maybe somebody looks different because of his formal environment that he has lived in, and that's the reason they have this looks. You know, you could remember me talking about this fish surviving in the Antarctic. It's like our DNA can be intelligent and adapt to our surroundings. Now, that could be very well for the reptilian humanoids that are walking amongst us. They are just who they are. They are not to blame for their looks, but because they look different than us, people could be very fearful. And especially when you have this campaign going on from many religions that they have to be bad. There are exceptions. For instance, in Mexico, and the Hopis and the Aboriginals don't see reptilian humanoids or reptilian creatures as bad. So it could be very well that the native people of the earth worldwide have respect for the reptilians. They don't have to agree with everything what they do, but they have a certain respect. Now comes a very important thing that I found very profound. If you have a 7-day, no light, no sound, and you have no way of knowing what is day or light, then we have our own biological clock that is approximately 25 hours a day. So not 24, but 25, maybe less, but not 24 hours. But if the native people, like the Aborigines and the Hopis and people from Africa, going, let's say, for 7 days and seven nights into complete darkness and dark retreat, they call it, like the Tibetan monks also do, then you have no signals, not knowing what is day, what is night, you don't know, and your biological clock of the native people is 24 hours a day. So that is exactly attuned to this world, because they are actually, their roots is from the earth. But what happened to the majority of the people on this planet? They are actually having 24 hours and 40 minutes or 25 hours a day. That means that something in our genes is not from this earth. And if that is correct, and there are more people accepting that maybe a part of our genes or DNA is alien. And if that is correct, then we are the intruders and not the native people on this planet. So you have the Aboriginals, you have the Hopis, you have the people from Africa. They are actually in tune with Earth, with Mother Earth. And then you have the reptilian humanoids. They're actually also the native people of native creatures on this Earth. And then you have the intrusive genes that are very have a totally different agenda. Now, maybe if you ask yourself what is the so-called alien agenda, you have to ask yourself what is the human agenda? You know, that is to conquer, to abuse, to take grab land, to take the oil out of the soil, and you name it. Look at what we did. Look what the Spanish, the Portuguese, and the British, and the Dutch did when they went all over the planet, because they had much more technology than the average creatures on this planet. What did they do with the technology? They abused it. So we as a human race have a karma against a lesser developed species. But the ridiculous thing is that what we consider lesser developed could be actually extremely developed, but we don't see it. You know, we measure development with the weight of how they are able to build houses, how they can use technology or not, and then we think they have to be lesser developed. It is possible that the native people are actually on another level, highly developed. And I talk about psychic powers. I talk about knowing what kind of plants you need to heal, and so forth, and so forth. So if you want to measure a so-called third world country and the native people, you would say, you look at them, you say, look at them, how poor they are. But they can only be seen like that because we look through the eyes that we are actually need to worship technology, that we are actually saying that technology is the only way to perceive reality. You have it or you don't have it. And if you don't have it, then you must be less developed. That is what the average people would say. But maybe it's the opposite. The more that you are actually worship technology or are using it as a mean to be, actually it will not help you, assist you to become more in tuned with your body, in tuned with nature. It will actually take you away from yourself. Technology is the perfect tool to divert attention away of your true self. It's like a decoy. So if you have a highly advanced race, alien race, that is worshipping technology, they actually have learned that all the abilities is in the hands of technologies and not much of your inner technologies. So I think this 2012 scenario is all about choice. Do you wish to worship technology? You will go to 2012 and you will be mirrored in that energy. You can also imagine that if you want to in tune with your inner technology, your inner awareness or inner potential, that can be happening through having access, and that's important, having access to your DNA and your heritage and your legacy, who you truly are, and that you can actually have access to our true history, what happened on this planet, and that you can feel the reasons why things happen as they happen. You know, it's like we have nothing to blame for, and everything is what you have learned in schools and what you see in the media. But if you see the bigger picture, you're going to understand why there is so much rage and so much anger from the original people on this planet. And they can be maybe much older than we are. You know, we're going to be at, let's say, average of 17 years or 80 years, we can be that old. Maybe there are creatures that can be much older and they have a different perspective of reality. They can actually perceive reality different. And if we're going to remember who we are and remember the history of this planet, it will not be given by a book. It will not be given by someone who's so-called alien and who will tell you, this is how you have to perceive your history, your true history. I talk about the whole evolution of humans, how it came to be, and what we have done in the past, and that you understand the dilemma that we face today. The only way that you can be 100% sure that you are not being used, that you're not being manipulated, is that you have access to who you are. Now, that can be done in many ways. But if you have access to your own DNA, your own hidden encyclopedia that is inside of you, that is your true wisdom. Now, if you have access to it, you can actually not be forced to take sides, to choose. Let's say there is an alien that lands on the White House lawn, and he said, we are the aliens, we give you technology in exchange for something else. Now, that would be obvious that majority will be very skeptical about that, because there's just one alien race, and there are many, many different types. So it could be very well that every type has its own agenda and reasons. And I think if we have to choose, it's better not to choose and say, I choose my own heart. I don't want to join the fight against reptilians. I don't want to join whatever agenda they want to force me. What you can say is, I go beyond dualistic thinking. I go beyond this trap that people are into. You can just look and study what happened in Palestine and in Israel. It never ends. They all are angry about each other, and it goes on and on into infinity. And maybe it's the same problem with the reptilians' agenda and the human agenda. Now, when the aliens are responsible for both of them, and it's important that you realize this, the reptilian agenda and the human agenda, they both have one common problem. They've been used. They've been manipulated. Their DNA has been altered. The genes are being altered. And we both are victims of having this schizophrenic behavior on this planet, what we experience every day. So how can we go beyond it? How can we go beyond this dualistic thinking? How can we stop, being paranoid and demonizing the other group? It's to understand the bigger picture. Now, how can you have access to the bigger picture? Now, there are many different styles or ways to do so. Now, when a man and a woman have a sincere, loving relationship, you can actually have a symbol of two energies, the feminine energy and the male energy. Now, both can be united and transform And you can, through it, you can actually have access to your DNA. And that's the reason that I wanted to discuss Tantra as well. Tantra Kama Sutra, most people will Google it and will find beautiful pictures of ancient India. And they will say, wow, this is beautiful, but I'm not into that. I'm not into doing strange, all those erotic pictures that you see. And people have their judgment of what they see. So they say, oh, it's all about having this wonderful possibilities, how you can, the art of making love. But that is not what truly it's all about. It is how can you have a oneness experience, a true oneness experience with your partner. It has nothing to do with what kind of techniques you use. It has to do with, are you able to connect with the other side, your opposite side, your the male, female, how you can actually rejoin, have a total oneness experience. There's a book called Being Alone in Togetherness. Yeah, I'm trying to translate from Dutch to English now. And I'm from the Netherlands, so forgive me if I sometimes have a strange translation. But there is something to this story of this book, that you are alone in togetherness. A lot of relationship has to do with that you are have to discover who you are before you can actually connect with someone else. And if you don't know who you are and you want to figure that out, you actually are not able really to connect with someone else. Now, when you are doing Tantra, and you don't have to do Tantra, but you can actually, there are certain ways of breathing techniques, of understanding of focus, understanding of attention. The majority of male people, they want to, of course, want to be as good as they can be, and they are focused so much that they are oversensitive. And because of this, this high pressure that they feel that they have to be male and to be manly and so forth, they have a certain expectation. And because of this expectation, he just plays a program of expectations. And it's nothing to do with real connection. Now, when you are actually having this program running, what you are expected of, then at that moment, a particular moment, you can have fun, and that particular moment, you can actually have a beautiful experience. But there's nothing compared with building up energy from the bottom. And I talk about Kundalini energy. It's also known as Chi. It's also known as Ki, and there are many different names for that. But if you connect with the two opposites, the male and female connect with each other, and the moment that you are actually understand that there is an energy that wants to be released, but that is with the male very important to know, that it doesn't have to be released. You can actually, there's an energy, the heart chakra is going to build up. Have the first chakra is red, and then you have orange, then you have yellow, and then you have green. Now, those four chakras have certain energies. Now, when you build up the energy, and the most known energy, of course, is the green chakra, the heart chakra, then there will be tension release. But it is more beautiful if you can actually build up to connect with your partner, and what will happen, you will create a cycle, a circle of energy. Your every energy is too much for you, what normally would make you going over the edge, you can actually give it to her and vice versa. Then you get a cycle, and then something magic will happen. You can have a total ecstatic energy experience, almost like ecstasy experience. And when you are in this ecstasy experience, you don't have to release. Now, that is important. And it's not local, but totally. And this is so spiritual, you actually are in a kind of an awareness of total awareness of everything. Now, this sounds strange, but that moment, you can have access to who you are and what you're all about. And you don't necessarily have to have a partner to do this, but it is important that the symbolism of the male and the female and uniting as one is so powerful that you actually can actually overcome this predictable behavior that people have by knowing what's happening to you, understand having certain awareness how energy works, how focus works. Because what I told you in the beginning, is that the male has this expectation, has this role play, or this program that he has to fulfill. Therefore, he focuses too much, and because of this focus, he's oversensitive, and because of that, has no control. Now, what I talk about has not to do with control, but has more to do with being aware of energies, and try to be neutral as possible at the moment that the male is having this idea. When I come to a point of energy, building up this energy, and there is a point of no return, try to focus on your partner neutral. Don't expect anything. Just connect, and you will see you are able to feel energies of her coming inside of you. You will have a strange awareness, like, wait a minute, I feel total new sensations. I never have felt this strange sensations in your body. And your body is the best way to feel to who you are. And then you actually merge with that person. And when that happens, this total oneness, which you can experience with the other person, you will actually feel her feelings as well. And vice versa. She can feel your feelings as well. So you are not alone anymore. There are many people having this art, the art of making love with each other, but are not in oneness, because they are having this role play, having these expectations, having this program that has to, you know what I mean? There's no true connection. Now, when you have this true connection, something magic will happen. Again, you can sense and feel and experience new sensations that are from her, and vice versa. She can actually feel your sensation, but you feel as a man. And that is strange for her too. Like, wait a minute, this is strange. I feel new sensations. Now, this oneness of experience, this cycle, will allow you not to release and not to get rid of your energy. It will actually build up further. It's like your kundalini is going beyond the heart chakra. It's going upper and upper and upper. And then when you are coming in that point, you can extend it to even 1 hour instead of having this local pleasure, and that is utmost 1 minute and that's it, or even 30 seconds for the most people. But you can actually extend it. But it will be a different kind of awareness, different kind of energy, different kind of connection, and it will be maybe even more intense. Now, in this energy, this ecstasy or natural ecstasy, not the you know what I mean, this can be so beautiful and so joyful that it also heals. So it has an enormous healing power as well. Now, when you do this from the heart and you really care of the person and you really love that person and you can connect with that person, it can only happen if you also are loving yourself as well. So it's like you have to know who you are. You have to know what your limitations are, and that you actually can go beyond your own limitations and reach out and have no expectations whatsoever. You just connect. Now, this is one of many different transformations that people can have access to, the hidden archives. There is a book called from Barbara Messiniak, Bringers of the Dawn, and there is a chapter about this, what I'm just trying to explain. And this chapter is, I think it's 22, if I'm correct. Chapter 22 or chapter 20. You can look it up and you can see it for yourself. What's the Pleiades explaining that that we have a bridge, we can create a bridge to another multidimensional self, what we are. We are multidimensional beings, and we can actually connect to each other with certain frequencies that is beyond what we are aware of now. And it will change your life forever. It will have an impact on your life. It will influence your life in a positive way. You will be charged. It's like that your soul is being touched somehow. And if you do this, you will look at so-called wars and so-called dilemmas, and you name it, you will see that from a different perspective. You would say that most of the things that we see around us is because of lack of love, lack of connection, lack of seeing the bigger picture, lack of understanding that there's a deeper energy or deeper frequencies, what is unfolding in our eyes. There are reasons for why there's so much anger. There's a reason why there's so much frustration. And if you're going to judge the so-called reptilian agenda, keep in mind that is exactly what they want. Because if you do that, if you judge the reptilian agenda, they have no reason to change. Keep that in mind. If you judge the reptilian agenda, they have no reason to change. But if you say you don't have to be like this, there is a movement from both parties, the reptilian agenda and the human agenda, they both are fed up with this fear-based thinking, and there must be something else that is beyond it. And that something else that could be the biggest ally you can ever can imagine. Let's say you have a beautiful potential, you have a beautiful power inside of you. It can only be accessed if you let go of the fear-based thinking and this dualistic approach of bad, good and bad, you name it. Now, when you are living from the heart, you have a certain guidance or certain help or assistance you're not necessarily aware of that will help you if you choose to go beyond dualistic thinking. So if you approach a so-called reptilian creature, you don't have to go there on a fear-based mode. Because if you do, it will only confirm their role that they have to play. But if you go and approach it from a completely different perspective, maybe something going to change in them and with you as well. So we are co-creator of a total different approach to the reptilian hybrids that have worked. Again, the true reptilian humanoids, the majority of them are not or either that, you know, because of the war that has happened in the past, or are going to other planets because they were able to do space travel. And then you have, of course, those who are hybrids, what I just explained, because of the intervention that happened. So we both have the same problem. Both races have been used, both have been genetic enhanced, and both have an extreme dilemma. Because, if you give a child of three, you give them matches, you know what will happen. And that's exactly maybe what happened with us. You know, if you give the technology to a Neanderthal or to a Cro-Magnon man, and you give them technology, you know it can be abused, and you know that it can go wrong. And maybe that's to understand that both parties have severe problems, and I don't think that all so-called reptilian hybrids are necessarily angry at us. And they are in the minority, so they have to go underground. That's the reason that they have to have secret societies, and that's the reason they have to infiltrate, because that's the only way that they think, a part of the reptilians, that they can strike back at us by using us and doing strange rituals and you name it. So then you have another problem. There are four and five dimensional beings, from the fifth dimension or fourth dimension, that are from another. It's important from another dimension, and they actually feed upon fear. The food source of them to be existence is that they are being feared. But guess who is taking this fear-based thinking for this food source away from them? That is you. We can take that food source away, and then they have no reason to be anymore, because we take the food source, that is fear-based thinking, and get rid of it. Because as long as you are in a fear-based mode, they have a reason to be. They have a reason to exist. They can actually be as parasites, use your who you are. It's kind of strange to understand this. You know, if you have a beautiful potential, you have beautiful powers, but you're not using it. Why? Because you believe sincerely that you're not able. And as long as you believe sincerely that you're not able, you will be trapped in that fear-based thinking. It's like your wish is your command. It's like you will mirror back. Now, when there are other dimensional beings, they know that there is much more inside of you, and they actually feed upon you if you are in a fear-based mode. But the moment that you say, enough, I want to connect with who I truly am, and you have this going beyond dualistic thinking, you tap into a kind of force that is so powerful and so bright, it's, symbolically speaking, it's the light within you, and you ignite it, you can actually overcome fear, and you can actually confront anything that is of a parasite mode, or because you can actually say no. You know, because this is interesting. We live in a free world, and in this free world, all these rituals what you see in secret societies is based upon that you give away your free will. That's the reason we have this government system, that you give up your free will and let them decide your fate. That this is the mechanism of this reality, that we actually give up our freedoms on a free will basis. We cannot solve this problem. Do you solve the problem, please? I give you the authority to solve the problem because we are overwhelmed with this problem. You see, you give your power away on a free will basis. And that's the ritual, what you see around you. So if you analyze and study secret societies, you will find out you can only join them if you tell them you're not pushed, you're not being forced to join. You do it in your own free will. That's what they want you to say. Yes, I do this my own free will. And then you do the ritual, and then you become a part of this hierarchical thinking, this pyramid. And they want you to be of service to them, to their agenda. And then in exchange, you get access to privileged information. Now, this is ridiculous because the majority of the so-called privileged information is already inside of you, and even better. Think about that. The most privileged information that the so-called secret societies have, the Freemasons, the Rosicrucians, you name it all the so-called privileged information that they possess is nothing compared of the information that is already inside of you. Now, if you know that, then why would you sell your soul to them? Why? Why would you give up your free will, that you will be a tool for them? This is a free will planet, and they know that. So if there are parasites on this planet, and they are very sophisticated, they need parasites, or they need the servants to be a parasite. So the whole trick is that you allow yourself to be used. That's a very important concept, this whole free will concept. Now, if you study Freemasons or secret societies, it's all about free will. It's all about that you give up your freedoms, give up your soul in the good for the greater good. You know, they know how to say it and why they do what they do. And then in exchange, you will get privileged information and awareness. And the strange thing is, it is already inside of you. So what a crap. I mean, really, you don't have to worship anything outside yourself, because if everything is coming from the Prime Creator, as the Prime Creator does, it creates everything, then everything that comes from it is of it. Therefore, the whole concept of being separate is ridiculous. So when you have this all the secret societies, they love you to be separate, and that you are not having contact with the divine, only through them, because they will teach you how to have so-called secret access to this and secret access to that, having privileges and so forth. They love you that you think that you need this. Again, you have to give up your free will to join them and get certain power. And there's also another important wisdom. If someone else wants to have power over you, actually makes a clear statement that this person doesn't have it. Because if someone has the power, if that person empowers oneself, it doesn't need to have power over someone else anymore. It doesn't need to use someone else anymore, because you have empowered yourself. You see what I mean? So anyone who needs to have power over someone else actually makes a clear statement. It doesn't have the power. That's the reason they need you, to use you. Because if they have their own power within themselves, they don't need to be parasites anymore. You see my simple logic? So simple. So people who so-called respect those who are in power, they have to think again. Because they are, in my opinion, parasites. Now, when you are, how can you empower yourself? Now, there are many ways to do that. One thing what you can do to empower yourself is know who you are, and know what your potentials are, and how you can have access to your own hidden potentials. Now, why is it hidden? It's because you do it yourself. Now, that is ridiculous. So we have hidden potentials, and the only true person that stands in the way to have access to that hidden potential is you yourself. Is that not ridiculous? So you can choose to examine, and it's nothing to do with being egotistical has nothing to be that you have you have to have a great ego to do this. It is the opposite. A lot of people that wants to be of service to others into infinity and wants to be running for other people all the time, and they ignoring and having certain self-denial, part of themselves they don't want to look at, self-denial, they actually at the end will harm themselves so much that at the end result will be that you have diseases and that you will not be able to be of service anymore. And it can also be that you do the opposite after a while because you're fed up with that behavior, then you do the opposite. So the true harmony in yourself and finding who you are, finding out who you are and having access who you are, then you can actually be of service much better because you can show the way by being. You say, you can show, this is how I feel from the heart. I don't going to lie to myself anymore. No mind games. And because of that, you radiate freedom and you will trigger other people to do the same. So if you allow yourself to be yourself, if you're truly honest to yourself, you radiate freedom, you will be having a wonderful energy that other people say, hey, that's what I want to feel too. But if you choose to use self-censorship, but who do you serve? Think about that. You think you are social if you do that? You know, a lot of people want to be nice all the time and thinking that is the best way to do that, you know, to be of service to others and always smiling, always is, everything is nice, but deep inside you hurt or deep inside you are maybe very upset. So if you are not truthful to yourself and you have a kind of self-denial, what it will generate is that what you are doing is a symbol of, a signal of having not access of who you are. And you're not kind to yourself and giving a signal that it is okay not to be kind to yourself. And on a subconscious level, you actually expect other people to do the same. You see the ridiculous part of this? Because of you having this behavior of self-denial, not all of you, but a lot of people, on a subconscious level, you're going to expect the other people to do the same because it is so-called social. It is the good way to do. And because of this mechanism, we have diseases, problems, and chaos, and people are... And then when you decide to speak the truth or speak be truthful to yourself and you express that, and people around you will not believe you. And why do they not believe you? Because you have showed them so long the person that is not truthful to themselves. Do you see what I mean? So you have a big time problems for the first time that you decide from this moment on, I choose to be truthful to myself and I allow to show my true feelings, including that if I'm hurt or if I'm angry or if I'm sad, that I say that. Sorry, I'm feeling sad right now, you know. So be it. It will be maybe over a while, but now that's the true me. If you do that, some people will not believe it. Now, why is that? Because you have played a role for so long. So it could be very well that you will reject certain people and you attract new people. So the quality of your life will change the moment that you actually are truthful to yourself, because you will attract new people who are also truthful to themselves. They're not perfect. They also make mistakes like you, but you are willing to look at it and willing to learn from it and grow. Now, this is true spiritual revolution and spiritual evolution as well, that people allow themselves to connect with one another. Well, how can you connect with someone if you're not truthful to yourself? With what are you connecting if you are denying a part of yourself? What are you connecting with if you're denying a part of yourself? You see what I mean? What is the connection? The connection is expectation, program, role play, mind games. That's the connection. Or do you choose to be truthful to yourself and honest to yourself and just be? With your mistakes, with your if you feel that you have lack of energy, say it. Sorry, I'm not feeling well today. Allow it. Allow that energy to be, that you're not feeling well today. Maybe tomorrow I'm better, but not now. And because of that, that you take care of your true feelings, you actually attract new people that will accept who you truly are. And then you will see you will grow much faster in your awareness and in your who you are than you ever have thought before. So there are many, again, there are many, many ways to know who you are. One of the things to discover who you are is to allow yourself to be. That's one way to understand who you are, including your mistakes. It's better to make mistakes than making no decisions at all. That's strange. Again, it is better to make mistakes than making no decisions at all, you know, to play safe all the time. Because if you make a bad mistake or a mistake, you can say, okay, I felt how it is to make this mistake. I now feel very intensely that I don't want to do it anymore because I lived it. I not heard about it. I not read about it. I now experienced why I don't do it anymore. You see? So if you make a mistake, you lived it. It gives you awareness not to do it anymore. But if you make no decision, stagnation it will be, you actually have no clue why certain things will not happen anymore in the future. So you have to connect with reality, including make mistakes, allow it to be, and take some risks. And a risk-free life is what everybody wants to have. You know, I don't want to have risks anymore. Everything must be perfect. Everything must be predictable, and that would be boring. So, you know, having a riskful life is a part of our identity, that we allow risks involved. And because of this, taking risks, you feel that you are alive. Let's say there are never, ever risks. Everything is predictable. Everything goes perfect. I think it will be boring. So part of who we are is having risks as well. It's part of being human as well, that you take some risks. And then you have to ask yourself, what is more important? Not what people tell you, what will make you feel lucky or feel happy, or that you listen to your own body and feel and sense your body and say, this is what my body says, this is what I want, and I listen more to my body, and because of it, you actually feel sometimes energized with some person that you meet, and with another person, you feel that this is a vampire, an energy vampire, that people take energy out of you, and you can make a choice. You say, sorry, but I don't like this. I don't want to continue to have contact with you anymore. That decision you can make. And why? Because you have contact with your body. You feel your body. You have contact with your cells that you exist of. They resonate with certain energy, with certain people, with certain. You can make every time you make a decision. Do I wish to continue that I'm being used or that someone is a vampire, energy vampire? Or do I want to go with people that energize me, that I feel, wow, no, I feel like a child, or, you know, wants to play outside and meet new people and exciting times. Now, this energy, this core energy that will uplifting you, and you can exercise that by listening more to your inner child. So I think it's important. I have to round it up, and I wish to thank you so much for listening to UntoldMystery.com. Untold Mysteries Out of Quarantine on bbsradio.com, and you're listening live to John Kulis from the Netherlands every Saturday. So if you want to know more about me, go to untoldmysteries.com, and then you can find it, what I'm all about. But I hope you, when the reptilian agenda will be unfolding, keep in mind not all of them have to be bad if they're being shown to the public in the future. Okay, again, thank you, and I give the audio to bbsradio.com. Bye-bye. See you next week.